people I ran at the time.
Yeah.
10-8. That's palm.
Good morning, everyone on the phone. We'll get started here in just a moment.
So it sounds money good. Comes into us by project. We don't have funds there, so in order to get the vision, what happens?
It is the finger season.
So it'll be something that will have to be elevated.
Have lunch, just get them and hold them up.
For voting.
All those in favor say aye.
Right now, we're going to go through and...
A finger broke off.
But you get appointment.
Paperwork sorted on a system designed that would work. That's our plan.
Yeah.
And then kind of watch the circumstances, listen, and then let that get kind of vetted around.
See, it seemed like we were really caught with no tools at all.
Well, but
I had to. I was basically throwing ideas out there that.
But see, it was the
didn't
first.
Really work.
Well, and, but I mean, the thing is that if we had never had like 3 or 4 days of extreme warming where we didn't put it into the air for us to cool down,
the government issue?
They are.
Up,
then
we may not have had that.
But you need it for me.
That's our problem.
But
well,
I mean, it was extreme.
Long side, I don't see how that could.
Pocket protector type.
A little more than we got water. I don't think it would help that thing. It was so water on the surface and the grease for it.
Created a mail sorter.
Warm water.
But it's that one that I have in Momo.
I know. Yeah.
So it.
But we have muzzleloader license.
I don't have a muzzleloader.
That we're facing here a little bit with soft
guns. That's all open right now.
How many dams can you go across and run into like 75-degree water before you stop? And, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, they've let everybody into the right now. Elk season's open.
Somehow that muscle
through all that.
Well, the bulk of the pack is still always on the powerhouse side, unless you were to not run the powerhouse and go to a full spill operation, because that's where there's steady flow and attractive water.
That's something
I agree with. Anyway, so I didn't ignore you, and we can add little goose temperature update.
Yeah.
Gary, do you know, is Tom coming? I had heard that he may not show up. Tom, are you on the phone?
He was supposed to be out at East Sand Island yesterday. And maybe, they...
His wife ratted him out that he was going to be cutting down a tree or something.
Is that right? Today? Or out there? He did cut down a tree and got caught. He was actually putting up a tree house. I hope it didn't fall.
Wow.
Everybody got
caught. Don't know anything about him. No idea.
Maybe he's close to I-5. Actually flows.
All I know is Trevor's fishing.
I was wondering whose it was. I had it in my car forever.
I did go there last year.
That's like a rare item now. It's shaped like that.
That's the
standard. Is it?
Yeah.
That one?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Guys at Bonneville are still wearing the same.
All right, so it's 10 after.
10.
We'll get started.
We'll be on 11th floor.
Really? We'll get started.
So it's right near the
Bill.
I'm lunching.
Calling it to order.
Good.
Thank you. Can we get some names for people who are on the phone, please?
Noel Spurgeon.
Lisa Wright.
Lisa, Doug has the external hard drive.
Thank you very much.
Please remind him.
Bjorn Vanderloo, FFU.
Wow.
Halloween.
Is that
who else we got? Towns, are you on?
That's Towns Burgess, a little good.
John Bailey, Walla Walla.
There should be one more.
Patty Clinton, Portland District.
Rick Martinson's on.
Well, it's one of those. Is that everyone? All right, going around the room. Carrie Mackey, Portland District.
Ann Sutter, Walla Walla.
Bill Haviland, NOAA Fisheries.
Bob Cordy, Corps of Engineers of Dallas.
Aaron Kovalchuk, Corps of Engineers of Dallas.
Jen Graham, Long Spring.
Gary Fredericks, NOAA.
Carrie Gibbons, Portland District.
Eric Van Dyke, Oregon.
Joe Skaliski, Fish and Wildlife.
Scott Dunn, BPA.
Scott Donahue, BPA.
Scott Public Power Council.
Ben Housing Corps, Bondo.
Ben Bowes Corps Division.
John Ersich, Corps, Portland District.
Rosanna Mensick, Blue Leaf.
All right. Excellent. So, first task, are there any additions to the agenda?
Yeah. Bill asked for an update on the Little Goose temperature. We gave that at the last meeting, and that's what asked Towns to call in. Oh.
Yeah, I've got one too.
Okay.
Scott's going to give us an update on the Bonneville Powerhouse 2 turbine observations that we had down there.
What a rip.
And our new PASOF constraints on the low end of the 1% efficiency range.
Wow. Which, of course, is shared ahead of time.
Okay, so that we'll give it
so, yeah, a little talk about that.
Update. We'll add those updates. All right, any additional changes to the September meeting minutes? Y'all had them sometimes yesterday.
Their one day of review.
Okay.
So, all right. The word decommissioned, is that true for the Oregon Shore Pump? Walt McNary? I saw that word in there, decommissioned, and that's like, you know, when you decommission a battleship, man, that sucker goes in the tin can.
So we had Joyce McDonald call in, and then you weren't here last meeting. Right. And if you don't have enough in the minutes, maybe next meeting we could ask her to call back in. Essentially,
wondering about the word. It just seems like more like it's just out of service until you get it fixed.
Yeah,
right?
It's just out of service until it gets fixed.
Decommissioning usually means
going away.
Yeah, we're expecting it to come back sometime between March and June next year. And then at that point, it'll be a path forward. They'll take out fish pump one. It'll be the redundant pump, and it appears to be in worse shape than fish pump two was before we took it out of service. So,
okay. I'm just wondering about the word. The word seemed a little draconian.
So, change it from decommissioned to out of service.
Okay, so he's asking for anything else?
No, that's... We'll talk about the Bonneville winter maintenance stuff today. So
items?
Yeah, so the first one, Bill Spurgeon, thanks for calling in. I did bring a picture of the Lomo diffuser grating that I was going to pass around just for people's awareness. It came up last meeting, and we didn't have anybody from Lomo, and I guess this got pushed to FPOM from some discussion at the Walla Walla Fitterwig by Steve Junkie. And so it had been described a little differently than I think the picture shows. So, Bill, do you want to go ahead and talk just a little bit about our current status and where we're headed?
Yeah, well, of course, I'm not looking at the picture you're looking at, so I don't know if it's the displaced gratings or whether it's just the degree of metal missing.
It's the rusted, the rusted, corroded picture.
The corroded picture. Uh-huh.
With pieces missing.
Yes, well, the corrosion stuff, you know, so long as we can walk on it to do our inspections, it's not the most important aspect. But the failure of the clips means entire panels get moved. And when those panels get moved, of course, the attraction flow is coming up, fish will go down, and once they get in there, they're stuck. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's my biggest concern. And, of course, we replace fasteners with temporary stuff each year, but each year that we find them off. But, yeah, that's my biggest concern. As I understand it now, it's going to be, like, what, 2018 until funding is available for it?
Because that'll be the next time they can request it, since this is the year they got it and we're 2 years out. So that'll be the next budget cycle where they can request it. You know, one thing that hasn't come up before that I'm just going to ask, and that is there no way just for a panel here and a panel there, or do we feel that there's so many panels that that wouldn't really help with the dewatering situation? So I think at some of the other projects, you know, there's a bad panel. I know that this is a little bit more vast than that, but I don't know how critical all the areas where this amount of corrosion is, and whether there's any way to do just a couple critical panels just to kind of tide us over until there is more funding.
Yeah, well, the panels attached to their support members,
right,
which are also rusty, right?
Okay. So what's the point?
Yeah, that's the issue.
Okay.
But wasn't some of it we zip-tied some of them in the past?
We used stainless steel wire at different times in the past. But since we've gone with bolting systems with a square block of metal to act as a washer.
Oversized washer, basically.
Basically, yeah. Yep.
So
is this picture representative of a much larger problem, or is it just a few isolated areas?
The worst places are any place where the bulk of the flow comes up through it. Okay, that's where the most of the oxidization is, and the aluminum parts are holding up much better than the originally galvanized parts.
So essentially over the tops of the diffusers, is that what you said by that?
Yeah, the part that we were going to do is as the first piece of it that we were going to do this coming winter. Okay, which is North Shore entrances area and that transition pool going up into the lower ladder. That is where it is the worst. And there's a near equivalent on the South Shore.
So the reason I think that even though you said it's a couple years out, I don't think that you expounded too well on just why. So the project was set to go. Steve Junkie was the PM. There was funding in place to do it. And then the project realized, their maintenance staff realized that they didn't have bulkheads that could seal off the channel.
Bulkhead seals are in poor condition. So they decided that they were, and there was some bulkheads that they knew they needed to replace the seals on last year. So supposedly they put them on the tops of the stacks where we could get to them to do them during the year.
Right.
But now they're saying that, you know, they all need to have the seals replaced. And, of course, we have the Unit 1 outage starting.
Right.
So that was also causing some, too much work going on in the same little area. So I think it all just kind of came together as a mess.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have any questions?
Do they have parts on the station, or do they have to order those too?
No, actually, all this was going to be... Oh, you mean for just the little repairs that we do?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got that stuff on hand. Yeah, but for, of course, replacement, that's all was going to be done by contract. So none of that's on hand.
So I don't understand the path forward. Fix a little bit of these things? Were they in the worst with existing?
Yeah, the path forward is this winter replace the seals on the bulkheads so that we can get a good seal and it'll be able to be drained down so that they will have an easier time working on the supports and the gratings when it comes time to replace them. And then I guess get on that list for the next funding cycle.
And I think you, when we talked, you expressed to me that this was your highest priority down at the JFF and or adult ladders for the fish program there.
That is true.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay. Are those original grading?
Yes. They've never been replaced.
We can probably move on. Town's Little Goose temperature update. Bill Hevlin wasn't here at the last meeting, asked for just an update. I don't know if you want to add to that before we have Town's let me know what we talked about.
Yeah, what I'm looking for is the plan of where we're going to get water temperature monitoring locations at Little Goose. That was very, very extremely important lack of information that we had last July, if everybody remembers. We didn't have temperatures on the South Shore. We had a North Shore that didn't do us a lot of good, help a bit, but, and we didn't have it in Unit 1 scroll case, or that would have really helped. I think we had a temperature probe out in the Four Bay at various elevations.
We have the TDG stations that we have at all the projects. So we have a Four Bay string there, and then we have a tail race monitoring string.
The tail race was on the North Shore.
Yeah, wrong side of the river, really.
It was on the North Shore, so it told us a lot about the spilled water, what the temperature was over there, but we didn't have anything on the South Shore for what was happening from the powerhouse water coming down. We didn't have any temperature monitoring right in the Unit 1, which would have been nice to know exactly what the water temperature of that water was in comparison to the water temperature going, say, through the ladder. I think the towns can verify this. I think he did come up with some temperatures at the ladder exit and the ladder entrance. Those are going to be real helpful. And then the string down in the Four Bay, so that we know, we can kind of estimate what spillway water temperature is down at 50 feet. And then the Unit 1 temperature water will be down at 60 feet. That will be important. And then, and I'm not sure what the level, Four Bay elevation of the diffuser
12
is. That's an important level too. So for all those kinds of things, we had it granted. We were able to get a pretty good idea of where the best place to put water through the project was if you're trying to cool down the tail race, cool down the ladder.
So I don't know. I wasn't at the last Fitterwig. My understanding is that Ryan may have had some discussion either there or through those Monday calls where we talked about the fact that the Little Goose ladder is very similar to the Lower Granite ladder. So with that, why don't you go ahead and let Bill know what we talked about and where we were headed after the last FPOM meeting.
Okay, sure. So yes, we do have a temperature string in the Four Bay, just like the other projects. Currently in the ladder, we have three temperature probes. We have one at the ladder exit, we have one about halfway down, and then we have one pretty close to the ladder entrance on the South Shore there, a little bit closer to the counting window. Robo loggers. And what we've been doing since August 7th is we have a alcohol thermometer that's in one of our unit. It's in our Unit 1 cooling water strainer line, which is the closest we can get. That's essentially what we're recording is our scroll case temperature. So as of August 7th, we've been collecting that as part of our weekly inspections. That's usually about three times a week, and we're recording that information by hand and including that in our weekly report. So that information is available if you would like to use it or see it. Outside of that, we don't have any sort of electronic, automatic recording system in temperature recording system in the scroll case at this time. What we did do was I moved forward with our tech section to see if we could replace this alcohol thermometer in the Unit 1 cooling water strainer line with a digital thermometer that has the ability to, you know, record at regular intervals, store that data, and then we can go and download that data. Should give us a little bit more information without putting an excessive burden on our folks.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Yeah,
yeah, that would. Does Unit 2 have that same port?
No, it doesn't. It's only on Unit 1, and it's just on Unit 1.
Well, unit one is our priority.
It's the best one.
Yeah, when it's, hopefully it'll continue to be available, yeah.
Don't we more broadly have some temperature issues in the snake? As you know, we had a little problem last year, and
right.
with each attempt to, you know, mitigate, you know, there's uncertainty over what it actually did. And it would be nice to see a diagram or a map of where we think we have issues. It's the transitions between the exits of the fishways, horizontal profiles. It just seems we don't have enough data to make an informed management decision.
We're going to be trying to gather the hobo data into a bit of a database. At the last meeting, there was a lot of discussion where Fish Passage Center and then NOAA, in conjunction with Idaho Fish and Game and the Corps, were going to do after-action reports. People have that opportunity to take a look at that data and put some of those things together as to meet your needs. Do your own assessment, or have, in your case, maybe Fish Passage Center.
Yeah. Well, NOAA's going to pull them together in
after action.
Yeah. So there'll be some discussion in there. I'm not sure about maps. One of the things that did occur last year that the Corps feels is more than noteworthy, particularly in lieu of the new instance of delay and CESA passage at Little Goose, was that the modeling effort that helps the water managers, i.e. Steve Hall, make decisions on how much Dorshak cold water to release, there were problems with the data input for three, four, 5 days. That was coming from another agency. This year they will be putting in some equipment that the Corps will then maintain. And so we're thinking that we won't have that problem, but that happened at the warmest time of the year. And in effect, then we started with a much bigger, deeper, warm blanket, if you will, on the top, and in very different circumstances than what we've seen, like even in 2013-14, when we also had very warm years. So we are thinking that that, along with the extreme circumstances, may make that something that isn't necessarily always going to happen, since it hasn't been routinely happening prior. We haven't had a lot of discussion on that, although I did just a couple days ago have more discussion with Steve Hall on that. That said, I think the path forward for the Corps is going to be that we're going to look at design and what it would take, and try to have something like that available here over the winter, try to get an engineering staff to have an alternative that we would have on the shelf, so that if we saw ourselves going into another emergency circumstance, that we at least be prepared for action. But within the O&M program, we don't currently have any funding to support implementation of any pumps at this time. So hopefully that answers people's questions.
Well, I'm still on temperature locations. I said we need one on the south shore downstream of the tail race at Goose.
Bill, this is Chris Penny.
Yeah.
Our water quality guys just threw us a diagram, and they want me and Ryan to get with them and look at locations at Goose for next year to kind of replicate what we have at Granite the past few years. You know, the telemetry stations have finally gone into Granite. They're not online yet, but putting those, you know, 10 to 12 stations at Goose that we typically have at Granite, and they're looking to get those things, you know, real-time online as well to back up, you know, the stuff that Towns already has. Yeah. So we can let Towns hobos, you know, run a longer time frame, and we can get the more instant daily stuff off of telemetry. So we're looking at that. Mm-hmm. What we have to do is we got to do it now, because it takes so much time to get equipment and stuff to get them in, so we want to make sure we get an early start. So,
yeah.
But I think we'll cover your concerns at Goose hopefully next year, because we're looking at additional tail race instruments downstream of Goose.
Mm-hmm. Good.
We'll throw a diagram
okay.
In a week or so out to everybody. So.
Right. Then, Ann, I heard you say that you're not planning on implementing rental pumps at Goose in order to cool the upper part of the ladder and or to get it to diffuser 12, but you're gonna develop a plan for that?
Yeah, that's correct. So we're gonna try this fall and or probably likely the winter now since we're in a CRA. To have engineering tech support, have an alternative, which would be just in a design that would be feasible to be implemented. And then the caveat would always still be that we'd have to find funding, so that's something that we would, the district doesn't have the funding to support the implementation, so that will need to get elevated and work through those channels to find that. If
what's required, the lead time on that?
The lead time?
4 months.
To do say, for implementation?
I want pumps at Little Goose.
Well,
normally it takes months and months for your contract.
Right, it does. By having the design on the shelf, I guess the situation would be that if and when we had an emergency, we'd be in a different circumstance than we were last year when we were suddenly in emergency passage conditions for Sockeye, because we didn't have a plan or anything in place. And potentially, if the funds were available, then you could go into some emergency contracting procedures and likely, when something's in emergency, a lot of things change.
Weeks instead of months.
Yeah, I think that, you start talking a week or two probably. It's just a matter of whether there's pumps available to be rented at the time you go out. So that's, we haven't had a lot of people putting in to bid on, the same person did it 2 years in a row at Lower Granite. And the size of the pumps, I guess there's kind of a limitation, if you will. We would probably still have a situation like 2014 where we wouldn't have the electricity available and we'd have to bring in diesel generators, et cetera.
Do you recall what it costs to run the power there? Just the power piece?
I'm not sure that I am aware of that. You might recall we were short in electrical design. The staff at the powerhouse last winter actually did a design.
But the critical piece there is if we could just have the output available.
Right.
Just have that, then you're going electrical pumps. Yeah. It's cheaper. There's no fuel problems. Right. All the other things we ran into were diesel was really a pain in the because it's.
Yeah.
So having the place to plug in
providing your 440, the electrical outlet.
It's only for a long extension cord.
So we can ask that as part of the design that we make sure that we have that, and then we could kick it perhaps back out via towns out to Little Goose to see if that's something that could be implemented. I can't speak for the project at all.
So it sounds like 16 is out of the question, 17 might be the quickest we would have pumps.
Well, actually, O&M won't have funds for 17 either, since we've already requested that budget. And I think the feasibility of something permanent there probably needs a lot broader discussion. An emergency is one thing. A long-term permanent structure is not anything that O&M is going to be able to afford. So then you're back. And in order for someplace like Crifham to consider it, then you're going to have some other process as well. So we're going, from an O&M standpoint, going to try to be poised that if and when we were to be in a circumstance similar to 2015, that we would at least have a plan in place with the potential to implement it. No promises there. And so then once that's done, that's in place. That said, longer term and overall, I think we're still not totally convinced due to the fact that there was an error in the water management modeling that influenced a lot of things. I mean, Steve Hall was the first to say that, there was 3 to 5 days where the amount, the water coming in is different than they would if they'd had correct data than they would have to the Lower Granite tail race, and that it took an additional 2 weeks to recover from that. So there we were, 3 weeks right in July, critical period for sockeye passage. And so we're not convinced that long term that this is always going to surface, since it hasn't necessarily surfaced in the past. In the past, when the original water temperature report was written, I believe it was written for Lower Granite and McNairy, to have for those ladders to have ladder temperature issues. And so that's the longer term places where we've documented it. And so, you know, that's what we have from our data.
Well, how long have we been looking?
Back in the early 2000s is what kicked up. So, I mean, recall that we had a year that I think this water year is a little worse than 2001, but there were no issues in 2001 at Little Goose.
And we had enough data in the ladders to tell.
The main thing that's changed is we spill now, we didn't then. So we're mixing all the hot water from the top. And you can see where the influence of the cool water used to go further downriver, especially a Little Goose. Doesn't now. I mean, we lose it almost right away. It goes over the threshold, one dam down. Good. And so it's our investments in RSWs and then the court ordered spill that's really changed conditions for us.
All I know is that around the third week of July, we didn't have any tool available to put some cooler water in that ladder. And that was exactly what the doctor ordered. But there was nothing available.
We didn't have the cool water to put in the ladder either. We didn't
down deep in that forebay, there was some cool water.
Yeah, but you would have chosen to possibly not spill Lower Granite to get it there.
Chosen to possibly not spill.
Well, I mean, in order to keep a cool enough layer on the bottom, I think that's Scott's turbines.
I don't think so. I think there was water down. I think the temperature, if you look at those temperature probes, we knew there was water down there 60 feet deep that was cool. Because when we were operating that powerhouse, Steve Hall pointed out that cool water was running through Goose and running all the way down to Lomo. But we couldn't get any cold water into that ladder.
Right.
What a simple tool to put a couple of big pumps down there. I mean, come on, you know. We do so many other things that are this could be so critical. I mean, after what the lessons learned from July.
Speaking of lessons learned, when are these reports coming out so we can actually start reading and enacting them?
November
for you guys? What about FTC?
That's what I heard.
I heard they were going to have an internal draft done by the end of September. I don't know if it'll be distributed.
I'm not writing.
Soon.
Maybe a little bit.
Sure.
And is Idaho doing one too?
I haven't heard that.
Who?
Is Idaho? Idaho.
I think Idaho is going to join up with NOAA Fisheries.
I think so. Okay.
Well, it's just my view that could have really helped, and I don't see any indication that how the climate has changed, that we're going to get a snowpack this year. So far, there isn't any indication there's been a change yet.
No.
So I just
next year's
gonna
be bad.
If I was the Corps of Engineers, I would want to prepare for the worst, and especially something that's so relatively a low cost project to be prepared for.
So are you going to introduce a line item in SCT for it?
Yeah, well, I'll sure try it, Scott. Yeah, if we can argue to Randy that's.
I think the only way he could do it is if it was a study for a long-term permanent fix.
It's a study to see if
I'll support
we
that.
Can cool down the ladder, right? Yeah. We can make, right, Eric? We can make it a study.
That they've done before.
Yeah.
Put on a one-pager.
or maybe less.
Uh-huh. A three-sentence study plan, is that sufficient?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it takes to get us to move on things. You have to have money. You have to have regional desire. Without the reports ready, you can't point to it and say, this is why I'm requesting this.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a backlog there. Yeah. Holding pattern.
Okay. I think we're probably done. Does anybody have any further comment?
So maybe not on the same topic, but if we're done with that, the temperature string conversation reminded me of past problems with the data on the website for Lower Granite. Any update on, like all of September pretty much is without it.
Yeah, they're supposed to be getting it back in. I was told, I think the day before yesterday, that they finally got the stream back up. Yeah, that's the water quality section engineering again, but it is supposed to be backfilled.
Anybody on the phone that can?
I don't know. Chris, have you had any discussions on that? It's Steve Jewell's shop runs that with Russ Heaton. And yeah, there's...
Yeah, I got the same information you do from a couple days ago that it's supposed to be fixed. They got to long-term replace a lot of those rafts for Coast Guard or something, but that was kind of, you know, secondary to what happened at Granite, but I think they thought it was fixed or soon to be fixed at Granite, so...
So the ladder, I think, at Granite's been running around 66, just for the hobo-type data.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I haven't seen any of that information come through the other group of late, so I'm assuming that that's not being shared at this point.
It would be, I think, like towns, whether, I'm not sure if people were reporting it on their weeklies. There's the sentence or so that says the range of temperatures.
Yeah.
That's where we sort of talked about having people report it.
But, okay. So the electronic data share piece that was occurring during the season when we were talking
about
it.
Well, that should be there again, and it should be backfilled with this data that hasn't been put up as soon as they get their system operating. Because I've inquired twice. You sent me a couple emails inquiring. I've asked. That's the answer that I've gotten.
Okay.
They haven't gotten it done yet.
Okay.
I don't know what to tell you.
And, well, other than they're going to put it on, it's going to be updated.
That's what I've been told.
The information is there.
They haven't lost the data.
It hasn't been...
Yeah, I don't know if there was an antenna problem. There's been some actual equipment issues. So they originally thought they could go out there and on-site, get it working again. There's actually a contractor involved as well. Contractor apparently isn't nearby. That first week that it went down, they were upgrading some equipment in the LOMO system, and they tried to get them up to Granite. I don't think they did. I think they got them the first and next week up. They had it up for a day and a half, and then it failed again. And since then, you know, exchanged a couple emails. They are been told that they will get the data up. They have not yet, the last time I looked. So... Yeah, it's interesting. We get people using a tool that's probably been out there for years, and then you have a tough year like this where you start to rely on it, and then not have it available. And I think they're aware that people are wanting to look at it when we're pinging them with emails asking about it.
Well, especially this year when conditions were what they were.
Right.
So we were all paying attention, I would assume, anyway, based on the conversation we've had.
I think a lot of people were paying attention, although a lot of the attention has shifted this fall, at least among the parties to the east side over there on just trap operation at Lower Granite, success of that, and watching just ladder counts, et cetera. Nez Pierce, is it under a special operation at Lower Granite Trap for Coho, collecting those both at the trap as well as over the separator for their program, just due to the low numbers. Other than that, I think things are going pretty well up there. It was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we started seeing a lot of steelhead. Steelhead seemed to be in good condition. Still seeing Chinook as well. So not aware that we have any issues at this point in time up there.
Appreciate the update.
Okay. So I think for Walla Walla, thanks, Bill and Towns, for joining. Well, I think we're done.
All right. Portland's only action item was the Dallas Adult Quiz, and I thought we scheduled this for after the November FPOM meeting. Did
That's we? What I thought, too.
Okay. That's so.
Still the plan.
Still the plan. We will meet after November FPOM.
Didn't we also schedule a condition monitoring meeting for after November FPOM subcommittee?
Yeah. I don't think we had scheduled one yet.
Okay, because I know Trevor needed to be here, and he's hunting a lot this fall, so maybe that one's going to get kicked out of ways, which, as long as we don't lose any of the players that have some written documentation, we're good.
Yeah.
You're one of those, Gary.
But
you have a couple memos.
So I need that one a little bit sooner rather than later.
That meeting?
Because, yes.
Okay.
Because we have some issues potentially.
Well, we can have it on.
The JMF separator bars. So if I can get what...
Special meeting?
Yeah, we may have to. I need to know what our minimum condition sampling is going to be. And I think we know that, but I want to make sure that we're all in agreement that that's the Corps' responsibility versus, say, smolt monitoring, which is more BPA's responsibility.
Yeah, you might just look at the memo I sent out. I think that's going to be where we land.
Okay. So that's important. If they're not going to waver on where they have...
I think I'm just going to say, here it is. We're done.
Okay.
Everybody else can talk all they want, but...
that's fine.
It's just it's a buy-up issue. It's consultation, and then we can have more restrictive things, but that's the base that we need.
Okay.
So, other than that, I'm just not going to argue about it.
We should have a meeting. I'll listen,
but I don't.
We haven't really closed the loop on it, is what you're asking for, but.
Because it could impact contracting.
I see. Okay, I didn't think it'd actually affect anything, but.
It shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But it does.
Have you talked to Kim Johnson? Have you talked to Kim Johnson?
I have.
Okay.
But it's at the division now, so.
We need to have our discussion. I mean, I need to make sure the folks are comfortable with that being the basic minimum level, but I think that's probably where we end up. We're pretty close to it.
Okay.
So if anything needs to change for her, I mean, I think it needs to be during the month of October, because then contracting will start, right?
I don't think I'll be able to get the justification done before I need to get it into your contract, so it's fine. But for next year.
Okay.
So maybe after the December FPOM, which we are looking at changing the date to the first Thursday.
Okay.
Which is also the same date as Portland Fitterwig, but I talked to Sean and he says there's maybe a couple items on that agenda.
It's the third. It's the third then, right?
Third, yeah. I think that's right. Is that right? You have the calendar.
Yeah, there was a conflict on that. There's lots of meetings that are trying to pack into that particular day.
Yeah, but the two most important ones,
where do they want to go?
There already is, has been.
So are you thinking another day other than a Thursday might be? I guess give Tammy some feedback. I think you sent out asking.
So the 17th is SCT.
We probably won't have it.
Of November.
December.
December.
Oh, yeah. December. Yeah, we usually don't have a December meeting.
Right, AFEP.
So, Tammy, feel free to.
So, if.
Take that over.
That was the only conflict I saw. So, maybe, then December 17th.
You said it was 17th for the next FPOM?
Yeah.
Or for that.
For the December FPOM. Not the next
one. Right now.
What are you going to bring for that one?
I might.
Snowflakes.
Maybe I'll bring snowmen or gingerbread men.
With their fingers or without?
Maybe with just one or two fingers.
Portland Fitterwing.
Oh.
And then there's a couple other things apparently.
There's been some others that have been trying to pack in there too. So.
That's fine. Portland Fitterwing should be pretty short. Or a light agenda is what I hear. All right, so November FPOM is the adult flows, and then December FPOM will be condition.
When is November FPOM?
That'll be the 12th, so everyone has a holiday on the 11th. Don't forget to come to work for FPOM the next day. Maybe I'll do poppies.
Yeah.
American flag.
So you want to have that one. So then after November, we will talk about the DALs. We need to have something...
Yeah.
Put together for that.
Are we still waiting for some research information on that, or is that out there already?
I think it was determined you guys didn't need it.
I don't think. I think we need to talk.
Yeah.
We do figure something.
We need to come up with something.
They provided a write up on tank steel.
Right.
So, we'll get that out and chat about it next week.
Yeah. I don't know if we can just use steelhead.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's all we got.
You know, we
well,
ask them to We take a look at the fallback and things like that.
Yeah, for all species, but.
So how did it look this month?
It looked okay. I mean, we just been looking like at the 180, where, you know, I've seen in other ladders where the 180 will just be stacked with fish. And when we were at our peak at 25,000 plus, you could hardly see anything in the 180. Actually,
there's two issues here. One is a trigger. What triggers the operation? Other is the operation. Do we have an operation that we can agree with based on what we did last year? So we need to resolve the trigger issue, I think, is really important. I think we kind of have the operation. It can be fine-tuned, but I'm suggesting maybe sit down with Bob and really talk through that process, because I don't see us coming up with some pounds per fish, anything. This is going to be based on what they see of the project.
Yeah, and I just don't know what else
if you can live with that, you know, come up with some objective.
Pretty high trigger.
Well, this year wouldn't have probably triggered it, but I want to make sure. I think it makes sense that we set something up based on what the biologist sees out there more than anything else. I mean, it's like Bonneville this year. We saw a situation where I called Ben and said, hey, this looks like there's just too many fish in the turning pool at Washington Shore Ladder. All four picking leads were down at the time, so that was an issue, but it was bad. I mean, that, you know, that's bad. It just, there's just too many fish are stacked up. They're all over the surface. You can see them all the way down. They're going around and around in circles, and that's something that we need some relief from. So I think to kind of develop some sort of a density based on surface observations and go with that as a trigger based on their experience out the project. I think it makes a lot of sense, because I just don't see us agreeing on anything else that,
right.
You know, we're going to say, well, you know, a certain number of fish per pound, you're going to say, well, what does that mean? In terms of a delay, we're not going to get a delay based on this either, but we will get some, you know, I mean, it gets down to being more of a gut call by the biologist to say, yeah, this is too many fish, we need to do something.
But so far, we haven't seen anything in the 25,000-30,000 range. That's
no, it's going to be worse than that. I'm not even saying the numbers are a good indicator. I think it's more of how they stack up in particular spots in the ladder that these guys say are areas where they do stack up.
Sure.
So
we might need kind of both of them, so you have sort of, let's say, indicator.
Well, if you've ever seen it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it may be something higher than we've ever seen before, too. I don't know.
I agree. I think that's where it is.
I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm not trying to lowball this. I'm just saying let's come up with something that makes sense based on what we see, which is kind of translated into at least the danger level. You know, these guys are going to say, yeah, this is not looking good. And that's...
Yeah, we were hung up on
that. I don't see us come up with anything better.
Bonneville's number, but who knows what that'll mean.
We've had 35,000 and didn't have a problem. We got all fish going through.
At Bonneville.
No, at the Dalles.
At the Dalles.
Yeah. So we got a ways to go before we get the
the
problem. But I agree. If we have a problem, then it's
there's easy a to density itself. Issue. Yeah, there's a density issue or density level. I think that is a problem. I think any biologist would say, yeah, that's not looking healthy.
Yeah.
We don't want fish rubbing against each other and stacked up like cordwood in a ladder. Sure. That's just not good. So what that means in terms of a criteria, I don't know. You know, it's going to be subjective, but I don't think that's all we're going to be able to come up with. And, you know, I wish I would have taken a picture of the pool down there this year just to have a graphic photograph of what that looks like. But that's the situation I want to avoid. So, you know.
A good lead.
What? Well, yeah, I mean, that was a situation, but that's beside the point. The point was what I saw was bad. And I didn't want to see that in a ladder. I would never want to see that.
There's
in a ladder.
No standards to measure this?
No.
Take a picture and count the number of fish per square meter. I don't know. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
this is below at the entrance.
This was at a turning pool, about halfway up the ladder, probably at Bonneville. You know, and that's the same thing with the Dalles. There's a turning pool that really becomes kind of a stack up point, and
or right below the count station,
or before the count station.
Yeah,
yeah, and the same thing at Bonneville too. Below the count station, you can see fish stack up. So I think those are trouble areas. That's
false.
False. Yeah, and so just defining that is going to be really hard in terms of fish per pounds of fish per gallon of water, that kind of stuff, or even numbers.
because they could move through faster or slower depending on what's going on, the phase of the moon and the position of the sun.
Is it possible to look at passage delay for pit-tagged fish? Is it possible to look at for those fish that are pit-tagged?
No, not on that kind of level because the two detectors are they're on one end of the window and the other end of the window, so
yeah.
You're not going to get anything there. It's too coarse from dam to dam to dam. It would be nice to have John Day with detectors, but that's coming.
Is it coming?
Retirement.
It's coming, I guess.
So it's on the SCT. I asked yesterday, and I was like, of course it does. Like, no,
it doesn't, but it is on its way.
Is there an answer for that? Why isn't there?
The service didn't fund it.
Oh. It's coming.
It's coming next year. It's most likely coming next year.
We keep asking. Finally, we
got the technology that's capable of doing it, and the budgets are starting to line up.
Yeah, it's a little more. It's going to be a harder issue than the Dallas was.
But it'll be at the count window?
Yeah. Well, no, not so much.
Isn't
it? No, not a John Day. It's going to be in the Weirs. So it's going to be different. That's why it took longer. It costs more. It's not as easy and straightforward. But I guess my point is that I think we're going to have some criteria, and it's going to be something that we're going to have to agree on, and it's probably going to be based on observations, not on numbers.
And we were watching Count Station close to and talking to fish counters, and fish seem to be moving through just fine at the high points this last fall. So
I think the other thing to talk about is once you see something, then what, that triggers what?
Right.
1 day, 2 days, 3 days, a spill, 10K, like we saw, but I mean, how many days? How quickly?
Wait a minute, when the density gets too high, the action is increasing spill?
Yeah, is to actually to
start spill.
Oh,
there is no spill to September, so the north ladder has to get
fish. So that would be getting fish to the north ladder. That's going to take time, so that doesn't relieve whatever you're seeing in a ladder. It's going to take time to develop, so it wouldn't be just, turn it on for 5 hours and shut it off. That doesn't work. It's going to have to be for a few days.
Yeah, I sure hope the criteria trigger is something more preventative of the seeing problem already in front of
you. I think we're going to have to develop that over time, unfortunately.
Well, I would hope that it'd be, something that's preventative and not reaction to the problem in front of you.
Just harvest more fish downstream.
Yeah, that's if we had enough fish over the last decade to actually trigger this thing or to, you could do that, but that we're not getting into those numbers until the last couple of years now, 3 years probably, really, and we haven't really hit anything other than maybe the first year.
So you haven't seen the, oh my God, there's a problem in front of you.
Right. At least we haven't seen that.
The conditions of the fish going through the ladder haven't been poorer than they should have been.
That's probably true, but the argument's going to be, that
if the trigger is
good luck
dealing. Yeah, I understand that part. That seems pretty
good luck. Been around this one for a couple of years. I don't see this one going anywhere unless we pick up something.
It's nice to celebrate the incredibly robust runs that we're talking about.
Oh yeah, you can celebrate a lot of things, I'm sure. But,
I'm sure we're
setting a trigger that's actually preventative as opposed to having something that's, oh my gosh,
I hear you.
Now I have to
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's everybody around the table
that's a good
understands
comment.
What that means.
That's a good comment.
We just haven't been there yet.
I don't want Bob to say, now we got a problem. Like, let's do something. It's more of the incipient.
Well, how do we know we're there?
That's been the problem. So we had the meeting in November.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Yeah.
The way I think it's going to go.
And then have a robust conversation on it.
A robust conversation.
So Bonneville's trigger still applies, right?
Yep.
Because there's no financial impacts to it.
He won't argue as much, so we just did it.
Yeah, okay.
If we could just do that up in Dallas, we
would. If you build another powerhouse for me on the spillway side, that'd be great.
He'll just say no. Yeah.
But the basis for that was never real clear.
Never
that was
really
totally subjective as well, wasn't it?
It was.
For Bonneville, it was, we saw 30,000 fish in the ladder, and we had, Basham was still around, and fish were coming, their backs were out of the water, and they were all crowded together, and so at that level, I said, okay, well, let's go a little bit below that so that we don't get quite as many.
That's
25,000.
Kind of the same thing I'm saying here.
Okay.
Let's go that approach. eventually you might have a numbers criteria, but I think it's going to be based on an observation first, at least for a while.
We also had the picket leads down at the AFF that was helping bottleneck, so.
Well, that's what I saw, too. But, you know, that's the cause, but what I saw was what I didn't want to see, and I think that's the important thing. If we saw that anywhere, we'd
Tom's
say,
not here. We should just agree to put back in those center leads.
Take up.
If you want to go down that path.
No.
I'm on board with
that. Moving on to the next agenda item. Walla Walla updates.
Okay. So, maybe pass this around. Bill Hevlin sent an email asking for the FPOM outage schedule to be updated along with a number of the items. Dave Trachtenberg assisted with renaming some of the lower granite specific construction items that are in place. So there's a little bit more detail up under lower granite. Basically below there, not much has changed. So he inquired about the Unit 3 overhaul. That's schedule on that hasn't changed. Lomo, okay. Unit 1, we still have the same schedule there. And then Ice Harbor, Unit 2, fixed plate install, head and switch as well. Nothing had really changed necessarily up at Granite, with the exception that he changed some of the wording, thought that he could make it a little clearer, just what was going on. You know, I think
So moving forward,
we have the December outage that there was a MOC out on. We had some comments, nothing that stood in the way of moving forward on that. So the plan that's in place is to go ahead with the early December early shutdown and start the concrete mining. And so that MOC went out back, I think, a couple days before the September FPOM. We talked about that it had gone out, wanted to give people the adequate 2 weeks. We had a comment from Noah, and I think we had a comment from Charlie. So we're moving ahead with that. David, are you on the phone? Do you have anything in addition you wanted to talk about at Lower Granite? Yeah, he's not. We didn't ask him to join, but he took some time just to fill this in. So I think if there's any more detailed questions here, my understanding is that the fitter wig at Walla Walla, they went into detail on a lot of these, and we haven't switched any schedules there. So there's nothing new on this schedule that needed coordination that we haven't talked about.
The only thing that I'm wondering about, JFF rehab extended
JBS shutdown.
Is that the pink line?
Yeah.
And the long one. So it's not really shut down.
Right. That's next summer. And it looks to me like that's a good one, Bill, because I think that is one that he added. And it looks to me like it should be starting in next August and going through the following March. And it looks like here that it started at 15. So it looks like that line's incorrect, right? Because the shutdown is what we coordinated a year ago, where we were going to start in August, and then with their contracting issues, they didn't. They want to be ready to operate the new facility in 2017. So,
see, it almost looks like the yellow here, the yellow one, which is the concrete mining, that represents the shutdown.
That's this year's MOC,
The shutdown starting at that's December.
Yep.
And then the shutdown starting next August, the 2016 shutdown.
Right.
These yellows really seem to be the extended JBS shutdown, which is up here.
Right.
Where is this? I don't know what this pink or tan line really stands for.
Well, I can.
Loops outside the dam. This one.
The fourth one down, extended JBS shutdown. Number one, I think that it should be just like this. I think that I think it's something
it
that he's
like
added this month.
Really
and
go up here.
Yeah, I think he got was wanting to try to add more and maybe so I think it is a duplication. And it makes it look like it's continuous through here.
Yeah,
you intend to operate the JFF at Lower Granite through July next year as normal. And
So I'm not sure what that represents, other than there's work going on the juvenile bypass renovation. There's different work going on, but it's not right in the channel all that time.
Right.
Everything else looks like what we expected. The unit one will be down from...
hopefully starting in January.
Yeah.
The bridge crane is still not completed, mm-hmm. although they do have them doing double shifts, etc., trying to get that. So there's still a chance that could slip a month or something. Okay. But right now we're still on schedule.
And it's going to take a year.
Right.
And Lo Mo is getting underway, it looks like,
rough.
Now.
Yeah, Lo Mo is going to get ready to do their salvage for Unit 1 here,
yeah.
probably sometime in either late October, early November, mm-hmm. and then start tearing the unit apart. Are you still on, Bill? Yeah. But anyway.
He mentioned that.
So Unit 1, we're still just... Mm-hmm. working with the project on the details of that. Recall that Unit 1, every time we would turn it on, there would be an oil spill, so we're going to be doing recovery of the oil to the best of our ability before we go in and do the salvage.
But it's vegetable oil, right?
It is... it's what's been coming out of the turbine units since the dams were built, except that it's more environmentally friendly than when they first started, because we use more environmentally friendly lubricants at this point in time. These units, I mean, just FYI, is that the units that we have up there, largely, when you turn them on, I think because of the seals, etc., always require lube. There is a move within engineering to try to push the HDC, which is the Hydroelectric Design Center, to come up with something that didn't require the lubricants in the hubs. At this point in time, we don't have those for the new Ice Harbor runners, but it has been being requested by the district. That said, that's a little out of my lane to be talking about, so I'm not like the turbine expert here. So if we need more details on that, we'll have to get somebody else in here. But yes, we've gotten it largely controlled in the last couple years to a greater extent for awareness when that occurs. But what I have learned in my short time is that, yeah, these units just routinely, there's always been a small amount coming out whenever we're operating them.
And there will be, unless you block them and weld them and
right.
drop the oil out or rehab them, which is going to be a while.
Right. We don't have a design.
McNary. And there's a lot of discussion about oilless hubs for McNary, so I know that.
So I guess what I have heard, we have a guy that is working a little bit more closely on McNary, et cetera, Scott Thorin. He did go, and I don't know if it was with BPA maybe, over and looked at some...
somewhere in Europe. Europe last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, Sweden. Looked at oilless hubs, but they're smaller mm-hmm. units than mm-hmm. what we have here, so I guess that's the challenge. So, yeah, people
we're exploring
are looking
it,
at it,
as you know.
Yep.
So that's what I have.
I want to get that duty, though.
I wanted that trip, yes.
Thanks for this.
Sweden?
There wasn't enough of a...
This is good.
Okay.
I'll talk to David about what that means.
Okay. It looks to me like
and he's got this on file. He can.
Yeah, he should, because he sent it back to me and he said, okay. And I changed some wording, etc.
Okay.
And so.
So I'll give him. I'll talk to him.
Send me
the
latest and I'll post it.
After we have a chance to talk with David, you mean? I sent one yesterday that was this version.
Yeah, that one's posted.
Okay. So, yeah. More to come. We can update it for next month too.
Ask him if how that, and he can,
okay.
can change it and send it back to Tammy and get it out to people.
Yep.
Okay.
Largely, some of the colors are different. Since he sent it back, I tried to change some colors so there wasn't too many yellows and too many of the same greens on it. So it might be better if he sent it.
Okay. Thank you.
The next one.
Maybe some horizontal lines, or even have the. the item's the same color as the bar.
The wording?
There, some, yeah, that something that would connect the wording to the particular bar.
Make them the same color.
That'd be pretty cool.
We don't have graphic software in the operations bio section right now. We have Excel spreadsheets, so what we can do with Excel, we can try. I can certainly try. I think Excel lets us do colored text.
Could you put a more bold title on it and say when it was last updated? Because they all look the same, kind of.
They do.
And so it'd be nice to know which version we're looking at.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I can do that. We will. And we will try some different colored text for next month as well. We could do lines as well all the way across, because these are cells, and we could just put a bottom line in the cell all the way across.
This electronically, right?
Yeah.
It's post software.
The next item for Walla. Yeah. Walla.
So they're working on that crane, though. You mentioned that. Yeah. They're trying to fix that at Granite so that the Unit 1 can get underway.
The bridge crane.
The bridge crane.
So that was the contract that didn't allow us to start on Unit 1 a year ago or whatever. And then,
but that's getting worked on now?
Yeah. Okay. They are actually... and the PM at this point still feels confident that he's not going to change the January 1 start date, but they're not done with it yet, and so there's always that uncertainty. So we'll have to sort of track that. We did shut off the Lower Granite rental pumps September 30th at close of business. So that was end of the day, roughly 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
What did that cost to run them this year?
Total operating cost?
I would be hesitant to answer that, not being the person.
Just either put it in the notes or...
Okay.
Just curious.
It seems like it was high. Like, the question, is purchasing a pump an option?
Well, then you need capital funds, and we've been using expense funds to facilitate this, and so that becomes a little different situation.
What does this kind of stuff cost when you say just throw pumps in?
Purple money, not green money.
Yeah.
Well, if I had to throw, we will find out and get it in notes. I think it was somewhere around a couple hundred thousand. Because last year what we did...
Rental charge or the power charge?
There was no power charge.
You just parked the log rock down there and just run the propeller as a pump.
I don't know if we have an update. Have you been calling Bobby on that one?
Oh, I'm
talking. But, I mean, that's not on here. We can talk about that. That's a place where the CRIFM program is providing some assistance. So the log bronc was delivered, as we mentioned, a couple months ago. There was some parts that have major failure on it.
One of them. Heard about that in SCP.
Okay. So then the other thing that they want to do, though, is go through and get a total inspection so that they are not just putting one part on to find that when you fix that one, another one is broken. So...
What was that you said, Bill, about a boat? You know, it's a hole in the water.
That's a sailboat.
Right.
Hopefully this isn't like a sailboat.
So that's how the Corps feels, too. Randy is getting a small projects PM to hopefully have that done in the next month or so. And then we'll be able to move ahead with the purchase, apparently. This is something that's manufactured up in Canada. The part costs somewhere between $30,000 to $40,000, and then the project staff would be putting it in. So I think we're still looking like we're going to be ready for the spring, hopefully. Everybody's pushing that it's going to be important.
Hopefully there's a lot of rain and a lot of debris.
Yeah, right. Hopefully there's
just
something that pulls it. Yeah.
I want both. I want to be ready and to have the water.
So the next thing is Ice Harbor Trap. We have scheduled a meeting there starting at 10 o'clock to allow people time to travel that wanted to travel back and forth from wherever they were coming from. At this point, we don't have a real agenda lined up. It's meant to be a field visit, and then I think we need to talk about what the requirements are and whose responsibilities they might be, and whether Again, right now, it would be an emergency operation to facilitate sockeye passage. I think it's not clear to parties like the Corps just how many fish are going to be required and things like that. So it'll be good to, and then we're going to have to get into the details of the project because, as folks are probably aware, while the Corps owns the Lower Granite Trap, the bulk of the operations are covered by Bonneville to support research project operation and any other monitoring. And one of the things that came up last year when there was an early exploration, I think, by Russ and or Ken Fone was there's things like anesthetic and various things that add up. So it's going to be beyond what Ken Fone can pull out of his pocket. We are asking and still expect to have the fish field unit staff there to support. They offered last year in an emergency circumstance that they could provide some support for staffing. We're looking at four people, so we can have some discussions on all of that. So just a reminder to folks, for those that are interested. And if you're not already on a list, I need to have your name so that I can get you through security. So I have everyone that I distributed to. I basically said, if you didn't tell me, I'd put you on the list. That's what I did do. But if you're bringing anybody else along, I know someone passed at the Fish Passage Center. We got a couple names from them.
We're struggling with travel.
Trevor was going to go, and I think he was going to drive down and maybe drive in that day and drive out. That's why we went for the 10 in the morning start. We have it roughly 10 to 2. I'm not sure it's going to take that long. But Ice Harbor is very isolated, so people should be aware that if you're going to get hungry at like 11:15 or something, you should bring something to eat because it's a good 45-minute drive, probably to a sandwich shop.
Burbank.
Yeah, Burbank.
Did you already mention of how can we use Crippen funds to pay for the improvements to that trap?
Absolutely. I don't believe so.
I just heard I don't believe so.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't read the notes.
Think so? SCT.
I don't.
Did we talk about that?
We did.
SCT.
It's in the notes.
A line item.
Yeah. What? It's in the notes. And Randy said he was going to look into it, but didn't think it was appropriate for Crippen.
Oh.
And then
Scott. Well, you got to put research in front of it, right?
Yeah.
So research.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's the need to understand when we're in a situation of an emergency, you know, what are the needs going to be, and then that would drive the requirements probably backwards for the trap.
Trap fish or what? Yeah.
Because Chris is on the phone, but I think the research trap, as far as I know, can handle like maybe 10 to 12 fish per hour in terms of collecting that and getting them up on deck. That helps you to understand, though, the need for how many fish over what period of time. So say we're the second week of July and it's determined that it's worse than 2015 and we need to go, or as bad, and we have to go into look into an emergency operation at Ice Harbor, that lets us know kind of the level of effort, because remember that the water temperature at Ice Harbor is very warm in
the
Foreland.
That's the other side of this, too, is you're causing delay for fish there as well. So
yep. You know, there's going to be some trade-offs there that have to be discussed. Yeah, I mean.
We at Granite, we were getting, most days, we were only getting about 3 sockeye for 4 or 5 hours. So when you said 10 to 12 fish in an hour,
that's what the trap can do.
The trap's capable of that.
But that doesn't, and essentially when you're operating the trap, then everything's held below, down.
Yeah.
So technically they'd be staged, and you'd be operating it, I would assume, at the first start of the day when it's coolest and the best to be handling. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have to stop. So you'd have to kind of decide whether you really wanted to operate it for 4 hours or just maybe 2 hours to get some fish. Mm-hmm. And then it's the bigger picture. What does the program really need to keep it at a maintenance level through time so that you're not disrupting, the
Chinook and everything else?
Yeah.
See, the importance that sticks in my mind, I recall, this is just kind of rounded numbers. But we were getting about around 3 or 4 times the number of sockeye got to Ice Harbor that ended up getting to Lower Granite.
Right.
Three or four times the number. So just that...
Well, I thought it was about 50%, but yeah.
I thought it was...
So we got about 25% of what passed Bonneville, I think, got to Ice Harbor.
Yeah.
And then it was about half of what passed Ice Harbor.
I thought it was 400 at Ice Harbor.
It was 400 at Granite and 1,000 at Ice Harbor, so okay. Roughly half. Okay. I mean, see, we're talking big picture numbers.
We're using camps.
So if you,
hey Bill, I got the graph right in front of me here.
Yeah.
2015 at Ice Harbor, the end of June, we're getting about 80 fish a day at peak.
Yeah.
And then early July, we're getting 45 fish per day at peak. It's down to about 20 fish per day. So you could be handling 20 to 40 fish passing.
Yeah, yeah,
that's total Ice Harbor, but you know that South Ladder is like 70% or so. So
Yeah,
Chris. I'm just trying to get the point across that if we had had that tool available, we probably could have got our hands on a lot more sockeye in that emergency.
So we're going to talk about what we don't have and whether or not what we do have is adequate on the 15th for an emergency operation. So we'll have more information for those that are there. But yeah.
So you're having a meeting as well as a site, sort of a site visit.
Yeah, we have a room set aside so that we can have some kind of follow-on discussion. The trap is not in place, you know.
I mean, you're not going to have so many people on the booth running things for the fun of it, you know, just like a video.
Yeah, it's actually down.
I helped design it. Yes. I know.
It's a phone booth, right?
Still a phone booth.
Then you come in from the top. Yeah.
So you designed it? I worked on a design with the Corps, yes. I spent a lot of time.
What if you retire, you could operate this?
No.
Spend those hot July days down there.
The fish field?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Get your cooler with your Corps light. You can sit there.
This thing is
I don't know if there's room for a cooler. It's got to be a small cooler.
It's no room.
You need a keg sitting up there.
Straw from a keg.
Yeah, and then a hose going down.
The hose going down, then you have to have a drain somewhere, too.
Yeah. You need a glycol chiller to keep it cool by the time it gets down there, too.
That's true.
All right, so I think
that's next Thursday, a week from today.
Yes.
No, I won't be there, but Trevor will be there.
We worked with him on scheduling that. I mean, certainly if you're available, you're welcome.
Do you know if anyone from Nez Perce or Idaho is coming?
You know, good question. Russ never responded. I have had a discussion with Becky Johnson, and, you know, we can...
Well, they're the ones that are going to pay for it. They probably ought to be there, right?
We ain't paying for nothing. Hey, this is Russ.
Knew that dig you out of the that got your attention. Got you the lurking in the shadows there, didn't there, Russ?
Yes. And I am planning on coming over next week.
Good. And how about that earlier question, Russ, about just what the overall need for your program is? Do you think you'll be able to dig that number out by that meeting? So, that's digging deep, I can tell.
Yeah, the...
More the better.
Well, yes, more the better.
To a point.
But it's, right, it's... The other deal is, once again, you know, we're going to be releasing 600-700 fish this year into Stanley Basin Lakes for natural reproduction. And we got less than 100 fish back from the ocean. So we have a bunch of fish in a captive broodstock program as an insurance. But our goal is to move more and more towards full-fledged anadromous fish. And those that spawn in the gravel and return to spawn in the gravel. And so it's one of these as far as with this really rough year when a good return, we wanted to preserve some of those genetics that had been successful. So we implemented the emergency trap from Lower Granite. Ice Harbor, we're getting more and more unnatural processes, and we're still not comfortable with pulling adults from Ice Harbor as well. as Lower Granite.
Yeah, what do you think your percent of Mid-Columbia would be at Ice Harbor, Russ? Do you guys, have you guys figured that?
We haven't figured that. You know, one is we were surprised with what we got at Lower Granite this year.
Rorschach or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Well, no, it turns out the Dvorak thing was one where that genetics folks said, no, we don't know where that came from. And I was like, I thought it came from you. So I mentioned that, but apparently
it's different
that was just speculation. The genetics came out that what they could determine was Wenatchee and Okanagan.
Reservoir.
Oh, okay. Just a different gene pool. Yes. Not necessarily Dvorak coconut.
No, that wasn't even in it.
Yeah. So that was like 15 of the 50 you collected, Russ? Is that the right number? Or?
I believe so, yes.
I think they got some at Redfish Lake that were that way.
And we haven't got any at Redfish Lake, as far as I know, that are not snake river fish.
Roughly of what they trapped at Lower Granite were mid-sea fish.
Yeah.
It's pretty high.
30%.
So, I mean, certainly that suggests that if it's a third at Lower Granite, that it's probably going to be even higher, at least a half or something at Ice Harbor of what he might be collecting that would be mid-sea fish. Well,
right, and who knows, I mean, a lot of that could have been just from the dismal migration year that the fish faced.
Yeah.
May have contributed to that. We really don't know. You know, one of the things is that we've been started just past few years collecting genetic samples off of fish at Lower Granite Dam. But once again, because of the operation on the trap, we only get those samples early in the run when temperatures are still cool enough to run the trap.
Right.
And so we don't know, you know, if mid-sea fish have passed over the trap. You know, we do see fallbacks. Maybe the fallbacks are mid-sea fish. We don't know yet what a normal year would look like. Hopefully with the modifications we're making to the ladder and trap, we'll be able to get more of the run in the future in a normal year and see what's going on. And it'd be nice to see that our concern with some of the fallbacks may just be mid-sea fish that are trying to figure out where in the heck they're supposed to go. So there's a lot of questions. You know, I'm coming over to look at that trap, discuss with folks, but you know, I just want to caution folks that we are not ready to implement trap and haul from Ice Harbor. And you know, it's one where I'm the technical person, but it's the sockeye technical oversight committee is the one that kind of sets the big overall program goals.
Hey, Russ, do you know if they spawned those fish and used them in their broodstock?
The mid-sea fish, no.
No, they were not.
Yeah, the ones that their genetics indicated they were not snake river fish, the plan was to euthanize them unless someone requested them. And no one requested them, so the plan was to euthanize them.
Well, that was the plan you were taking the genetic samples for, too. You could do the same at Ice Harbor, too.
Yeah.
Yes, we can do that.
Yeah.
So we, you know, technically we could do that. It's just a question: is that desirable to do? Is that the right choice for the long term? Health of that snake river sockeye population is the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, it's way above my pay grade on whether we should, you know, allow those few fish that made it in this tough year to be the basis for the future, because hopefully they pass on that ability to make that migration under those type of conditions in the future, or whether we collect more fish down at Ice Harbor so we have more genetics and broader genetic diversity in the population. Those are decisions way above my pay grade on what we should do.
Yeah.
So I'm just the messenger on this stuff.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Well, there's nothing wrong with preparing for it, right?
That's right. I mean, you know, since we really don't know, I haven't gotten a clear message on where we're going in the future on that.
Yeah.
Want to come down and discuss with folks and how we could do it and how it could be done. Just even if we decide not to do it, and then things get really grim and people want to change their mind, which I've seen in the past.
Not in this form, Ross.
We have a lot. Now I'm just talking within my own agency, that we have, you know, basing decisions off of knowledge instead of speculation would be much better.
So thank you for joining, Russ. We didn't know you were there until we poked your interest.
Yeah, that worked a little too well, actually, but, you know.
Wind me up, you get me going.
So we'll see you on the 15th. That's good. The only other thing we have for Walla Walla was that the adult ladder outage was posted again. That's the annual winter maintenance schedule. Apparently that's generally just been posted rather than formally sent out, so that's what was done again this year. So take a look.
I didn't look at it. Is it say that you're going to try to get Goose Ladder in action on the 15th of February? That whole thing I went through to try to get some language changed in the fish passage plan.
It says dewater, Little Goose, it says dewater the fish ladder from January 4th through February 19th for maintenance.
Well, that's pretty good. If we could have it back on the 20th, that's better than March 1st, right?
Mm-hmm. So that, yep.
Going in the right direction.
Okay. So, yeah.
Is this the longest it's ever been down?
No.
Oh.
It's been down.
No, last year it was.
Well, it started when they were making the lamprey improvements 2 years ago, I think it was. And then the follow-on year, it was down. There were some other maintenance issues at the project that kept stalling and stalling, getting it back up.
Yeah.
We were getting the control system replaced because the control system for the weirs on the adult ladder weren't working, and the contractor that was doing that couldn't do some of his work because there was some other work going on at the project, and so it kept getting pushed out. So that controllers are once again working there, and that's something that in the future, I think, perhaps next year, the year after, we'll be getting that replacement done at Lower Granite. So Lomo, Little Goose both have the new PLC controllers, I believe, for the fishways now. So that hopefully makes them more stable. Now it's the elements of the fishway that we're still trying to get repaired long-term with, that we're working on as well, weirs, et cetera. But
so being we have two ladders at Lomo and Ice Harbor, there's always a route for those steelhead that want to start moving in February.
And bull trout.
And bull trout, yeah. And that was the whole
straight
idea. But Lower Granite and Little Goose with one ladder, you've got to take that out for maintenance a certain time. Cuts in. There's no way around it.
You have
potentially do something that's a little more than that.
Trap and haul at Ice Harbor.
That would go.
Yeah.
Having a contingency passage route of those two poor adults would be a great thing, great improvement.
Yeah. Another ladder.
That's kind of
yeah, I know.
Well, it sounds like a shortcoming of the original design.
Hopefully we can always talk about these things.
Yeah. CT, yeah. Put a line item on there.
Yeah. What about this?
That'll take your whole year's budget.
CT, let's go there.
Oh, yeah.
The new fish cannon they have?
Oh, the fish cannon.
Blue ship. There you go.
There you go.
Some of our passage issues could be addressed, maybe.
Yeah.
Yes, Chris.
It's Chris. I got an update on the temperature strings at Lower Granite.
Okay.
And they're recording.
Yep.
They were back up as of Monday. If you go on the site, you'll see them at Granite. The main problem was bird damage to the GPS. Oh. And there's a bunch of Gary will appreciate it. Cormorants camped out. And now they got gooses out, so goose is getting repaired soon. And so they'll probably have to maintain all of them before the season's out or something. But anyway, they're starting to get bird damage at them two times.
Did they mention anything about the back data that Eric was asking about?
No, I'll check on that. It should be archived, and we should probably be able to get that out.
It's a matter of when
out,
they're going to get it up. That's what he was asking.
Exactly,
Just making sure it's going to be there.
Yeah, I was just talking to the tech. Jewel's not here, so I'll get with Jewel when he gets back. So.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, so Portland updates. Any updates of the T11 and T12 outage? Right.
Nope, halfway through T11.
Pick the new color.
Oh. Their new color?
It's Battleship Gray instead of purple.
Instead of Princess Purple?
Yes.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Sounds like Gary being
Princess Purple.
That's a good example of what's appropriate for ladders too.
We'll just go take paint chips from the transformer. Right?
There you go. Probably got some paint left over.
The Cascade Island fish valve repair. You go to Orifice Explorer today.
Yep.
Tomorrow. Today. Okay. How did the exploratory stuff go?
Still going, but no. I mean, no smoking gun.
They didn't find water shooting out of the ladder?
They did not, no. Huh. They found the plug from the old lab exit, and it's intact and looks good, so that area is, I don't know, they found, continue to find more stuff undermined, and not good, but not a source as of yet, so.
Ladder wasn't squirting water out the side?
No, I mean, it's, I don't know, I would still guess that it's the conduit to some degree, but that's going to be hard without unearthing the whole thing or getting people in it, which is pretty challenging. So ideally we'd be able to put an access port on the upper end of that conduit, kind of like you have a 3-7, because as it is right now, your only access step for personnel is to send them through a diffuser and climb up, but then you're stranded between your two diffusers, because what we do with the other one is stretch 2x12s across and you walk across the pits. You can't get a 2x12 up there if you climb through the field.
Long enough, yeah.
So, yeah, until there's an access, we don't. And I mean, you can literally climb each one, climb back out.
Right, ladder, take a ladder with you.
Yeah.
Short ladder,
exactly right.
Extension ladder or something like that. Right.
So, I don't know. They're still looking, poking around, mostly now. They did the part by the ladder on Tuesday. Now they're more in the middle, just peeling back concrete or asphalt and looking, trying to see if they can. Complicated when it starts raining out there because they're looking for spots that are saturated unnecessarily. But yeah, once it starts raining,
this weekend is supposed to be wet. I'll probably be out tomorrow.
Yeah, you can have a look. Walk gingerly.
Yeah. Bring your binoculars. Take Gary, walk over there.
Yeah, there you go.
Retired. Gary's retired.
There you go.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Quick, cap that thing over.
So I rearranged my agenda a little bit. The Portland District winter maintenance schedules, we have John Day and the Dalles posted. So go ahead and take a look at those.
Did I give you the latest? Because that's completely changed now.
Oh, I'm sorry. We only have an accurate one for John Day posted.
There you go.
We will get an accurate one for the Dalles posted soon.
And I love the Palm website they're posted.
Yes. Under today's meeting.
A separate line item for it.
There is that as well, but in case you just go to today's meeting, all the documents are also there.
Tammy, I'll send ours when I get back.
Okay.
I told Gary I did for yesterday. I was waiting actually to see if our rationale for asking for that early outage was still valid. It's like the contracting.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So for the Dalles one, just a quick update with the AWS contract being postponed for a year. I'm sure you heard about that.
Yep.
So we were kind of working everything around that, so now we're going to adjust everything back to a normal work period.
So that means the rail removal goes back to November?
I don't know what's going to happen with that yet.
Well, that's next year.
Yeah, that's next year.
That is next year. So
that
still
is next year. So it'll probably still apply, but I don't know how that's going to change.
But there'll be no early outage of the North Fishway, right? That'll be the main change?
There will be no early outage of the North. But we still plan on doing the North first anyways. If there's some remote chance that maybe at the end of the in-water work period, they might want to try to get some AWS work done, then they'll have the opportunity then. So we'll do the North first, probably pretty much in and out of that a couple of weeks. We might hold that for a whole month. I'm not sure yet.
All right.
delay because of that challenge, the contract challenge.
Yeah. That's my understanding, yeah.
That is.
Some contract challenge.
Yeah.
They bump it a year.
Last minute.
Yeah, but if they do work this year, then they're going to have an additional remote charge, and so it'll go even higher.
It's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
So on that positive note, moving on to the Dallas Spillway 9 trunnion pin. Do you have an update, Bob? Or do
I haven't heard anything new since last time.
Oh, so.
So she has news.
So I will be the bearer of lovely news. We didn't have it in the budget for this year, and they did not do it last year, so we will have it as a UFER for small projects to do something with the Spillway 9 trunnion pin. So we're kind of back to where we were, except people are aware, I guess it's a high priority and we do have a charter, but we don't have funding. Which is what the team was told last fiscal year, if you don't spend this money, I can't carry it over. So you have to do something this year. Oh, yeah, whatever.
So how much money is it?
Last year we gave them $200,000 and they spent, what, like 40. Eight?
Something like
that,
yeah.
Oh,
my
gosh. Barely
touched it.
Yeah.
So this is for the pin installation?
Yes.
Who's we? Who was it that, who was they, I should say, that didn't spend the money? That was the project?
So it was determined that it should go to small projects mm-hmm. to work on, mm-hmm. rather than to a formal PDT with a PM. No, small projects was... So that's kind of our little conglomeration of people to do.
That.
No, she wasn't. Elizabeth Hall used to work in these small projects. But operations had provided the funding because we had it.
Well, it's a good thing. That's one of those first buy-up items for 2018.
Excellent.
In its current state, it's not so.
Correct.
Remember at one time we were talking about priority on the spillway? Kind of leaning towards focusing on 1 through 8 to make sure those are in tip-top shape. If we're going back to square one, should we be doing that?
I can talk to Byrne about that, but I think the deputies had decided they didn't want to deviate from focusing on Bay 9, even though it made sense to do to make sure Bays 1 through 8 all had fully functional trunnion pins.
But I guess were they aware of the FPOM's position on it? Because at that time I thought FPOM was in agreement. Yeah, we should.
Yes, they were aware.
Okay.
And it was made at a higher level that no, you will stick to what the charter says. You will.
It's like
the
Keystone Cops here on the show.
Don't fight for it.
Former chief of fisheries.
Tell him that. Tell him I said that.
Okay. It was beyond him as well. John Day. Digital governor testing. I like how Miro is not here today. So, later on in the agenda, there is the MFR for Main Unit 16. We have taken Main Unit 1 out of service. They did not put tail logs in because we do not have a spare set of tail logs. However, the project believes that we won't see sturgeon. And then they sent their nice fish salvage report showing how often they get sturgeon. But, as Mira had said, it happens to be in the north units. We haven't seen them in the south units, and some south units have already been done with the digital governor testing. So we'll find out when that unit comes back.
Those are all
the dice.
It is. On a positive note, we are moving forward on getting a spare set of tail logs. So while we cannot really apply it to this round of digital governor testing, next time around we will be better prepared.
Preventative action.
Is there a better time to do digital governor testing?
I don't know.
Is there a time when there's less fish impacts than this?
They weren't expecting those fish impacts, and if sturgeon are behaving at John Day how they just behaved at Bonneville for a while, you can try to anticipate it, but then the impact, there's no impact, and you wonder where the fish have gone.
We need to have a sturgeon training program.
Yes, we need to know where to go.
Yeah, it could just make things do what they want.
The reason I bring it up is some of these things, like
we have a sturgeon training program.
Right.
And they
sounds great. Let's all vote on that.
They expire on dates that may or may not be good for what we want to do. And so if things like this come up and we have an opportunity to change them, we know there's a better window, they may be able to switch when they do their testing and become, that'll be the normal, you know, every 2 year cycle. But WEC's developing more and more things for transmission. And they just say, okay, you have to have this done in 2 years, and they start whatever day they decide to start it on. And it's never been coordinated through fisheries as well to say, what's a better 2 year window to have it testing? Because they wait till the very end and then test it.
Right. I think with spare tail logs, that will help the
issue. Can we purchase those tail logs with Griffin?
They're already in the process of purchasing them. The project is already moving forward on it. It's just it takes a while to get these things built.
So the money's there.
Did we find more Griffin dollars?
Is there a good diagram of where the sturgeon got previously trapped at John Day?
Yeah.
I tried to send me one, but it wasn't very good. I have a hard time visualizing how long they were.
So Miro, I think, sent a diagram of the gate well, and he wanted to clarify that they weren't trapped. They could have gone back out the way they came in, it's just that they didn't. And so they were removed from the gate wells in a more timely manner. But yeah, we can get that to you. All right.
So there are some other actions that are coming up that may, you know, have the same issue apply. There's been discussion by sturgeon biologists in the states that they have some concern about winter aggregation of sturgeon and how those things might apply to some other sites that have actions coming. For instance, was Ice Harbor Unit 2 fixed blade and other things like that. Looking at preventative measures prior to seeing, oh shoot, we got a problem, it's kind of a good concept, I think, to move forward on some of these things. And whether you actually have it occur shouldn't be the driving force for implementing a preventative action on something that you know could occur.
Yeah.
So that's the message I think we're trying to deliver at this point with that one, and hope that at least it's heard, if not acted on. So far, I think the track record for the last three or two, we'll see about the third.
John Day.
Well, we've done
Change.
We've done nine units, and it's only the last three that we've had issues.
I haven't heard of any sturgeon getting to Ice Harbor. I don't doubt they're below Ice Harbor.
So state biologists that work with sturgeon have a better concept of where they are and how they aggregate and their behavior. At this point, I think they're concerned and have been. So preventative action keeps animals out of a high-risk area, regardless if they can swim back out or not. Seems like a good idea, a good concept to move forward on.
We generally, when we do salvages and when we do the low mall unit one salvage, we anticipate that we may see a few. Yeah, that's why we're going through the removal of oil, etc.
Yeah,
it was never a big fishery, but there was a take fishery for a long time, you know, between the pools, and then I don't believe that there's still a take fishery any longer.
I've never heard of the congregation like we have at Flo Bottle where we get 75,000.
Oh, no. We're talking
about that anymore. Having to hear about it or see it, I guess, is always one of those things we'll talk about. But whether it occurs and there's problems.
We're talking less than 20, more than the 15 to 20, maybe.
Right. But the congregations they happen in the tens of thousands. Huge.
Yeah, no.
Winter aggregation.
Yeah. Right, they do that.
They may aggregate in the forebay, too, and then what happens to them?
Which forebay?
Any of them.
So, where they are currently and where they might be.
So it sounds like we'll have a sturgeon task group, and Eric will be the chairperson of that.
That would be interesting, since I'm not a record player or somebody on your usual team.
You could
there
be.
There you go.
Doesn't sound like
could be.
All right.
We aren't.
Moving on to Fitterwig updates. John, do you have anything?
I think Corey covered the Dell's AWS pretty good.
Okay.
We kind of talked about that, and people are aware. The B2FGE last week at Fitterwig, we talked about results. And they look positive for moving forward with completion, or getting out a 90% BDR, and that'll be sent to Fitterwig. And an APR review here probably mid-December, and we'll follow with a special Fitterwig we had talked about January 12th to talk about comments and moving forward. And then recently we had a meeting with Bonneville Project to talk about construction schedule and the T12 outage between September 7th and 11/23 would be a time to do units 16, 17, and 18. And then would follow right into the in-water work period with 11 through 14.
Can you repeat those dates, sorry?
September 7th through November 23rd.
It's when they're out for the transformer.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And 15's already done, so we would then move into the winter maintenance period. Bonneville thought that it was realistic, you know, given the workload over the winter maintenance period, that it could support two units during the normal in-water work period when Powerhouse 1 and Bradford Island would be operating at that time. So we would probably be doing units 11 and 12 and then have to schedule, you know, with contracting and work into, you know, potentially March or April for units 13 and 14. So we'll have a problem.
16, 17, right?
16, 17, 18 would be...
I mean, 2016, 2017. I'm not talking this year.
So no retiring for you yet?
Yeah, I'm quickly approaching the point of whatever.
I will eventually have an F-bomb coordination for this thing, but we don't anticipate any significant impacts of fish passage with this.
And no limitation on hydraulic capacity to preclude the kilowatt per chum?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll have your four units in the second part, and then all 10 possibly in the first. Okay.
The only units you'll need an MOC for are the ones outside the in-water work period and outside the T12 outage.
That's right.
It's just maybe none of them.
Maybe.
Yeah, their ongoing issue, you know,
the Lamprey work, 13, 14 potentially.
You got the Lamprey bloom work they want to do next year, which would require all units off the second car house, given the Eddy Nimmo build.
Yes.
So, something to keep an eye on, depending on how long that work is.
You're
we love
about
that
it,
one, sure. But it'll mean all your passes will be at the first car house.
All right, moving on to our favorite part of the agenda. Is it going to be Lisa or Doug that gives the updates?
You can ask if she's on the phone.
Did she stand it this long?
Is she there?
Lisa, are you still on the phone?
I am, but I'm handing this one to Doug.
Oh. All right.
Hey.
Lower Granite yesterday, 18 KCFS.
Oh, man.
5-day forecast on the 12th, 17 KCFS. And the 10-day forecast on the 17th, 15 KCFS.
Wow.
Mary Dam yesterday, 97. 5-day forecast, 86. 10-day forecast, 95. And Bonneville Dam yesterday, 107. 5 days out, 92. 10 days out, 101.
Do you have the peaks?
Yes, I do. Hold on.
Do we care about any of it? At this point,
nice sandbars.
There are a lot of nice sandbars out there.
But we need the projected, we need the minimums.
So, Lower Granite Dam.
Doug, I can answer that if you need.
Thank you, Lisa. I see your email right here with the peak, but you can say it quicker. Go ahead.
What's that? I can't hear you.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, Lower Granite, peak of the 10-day forecast occurs on the 12th, and the low of the 10-day forecast is on the 17th.
Didn't hear it, Lisa.
You're hard to hear, Lisa.
Sorry.
You're breaking up.
Sounds like Doug gets to tell us.
All right, okay, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, sorry, my headset's not working so great. Okay, so Lower Granite, the peak of the 10-day forecast occurs on the 12th, around 17 KCFS, and the low of the 10-day forecast occurs on the 17th, around 15 KCFS. McNary's projected peak, October 14th at 98 KCFS, and the low is today, 84 KCFS. At Bonneville, peak on October 14th, around 104, and the low today, around 91.
Those are day averages.
That's correct, yeah.
Lisa, is there any storms out there?
Huge one.
In a couple of weeks?
Joaquin?
Anything?
Bermuda?
No, not over Hurricane. Out there in the Pacific.
Oh, there is one, but it's going to veer to the right, which is really rare.
Huh. And more
towards Alaska than normally they go around to Japan and circle over. So there's such a big one over by Japan that this one's getting kicked along the edge and coming up.
So it's still not nothing.
It won't hit us. It's not a great split flow. So the Willamette stays dry and the waters can go into northern Washington and Canada.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's looking like the El Nino is starting strong.
Okay.
Almost a super El Nino, which could be good because it sometimes it'll give you a really, it'll change a little bit and just get blasted. According to Kyle, he says that California gets blasted and then in Canada it splits because of a high pressure ridge that forms. It can, but it can also give you a South Carolina dump.
Well, that's really encouraging too.
South Carolina.
Get out the boat.
Not going to help us any. It's miserable weather.
That was like,
well, we're going to run off.
1962.
Pull out some reds, kill a bunch of salmon. That'll help.
All the fires, all the runoff pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Mud, crab in the river.
So moving on to something less depressing.
Yeah.
All right, Bjorn, you want to give your pinniped update?
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Sure, I'm here.
Excellent.
Everything's happy.
Okay, so I don't really have a whole lot. But so we're going to do a task group meeting on November 2nd at Critvik. The state's plan to try to trap in the forebay here pretty soon. There's one California sea lion that's using the trap almost every day. So if they show up here, they should be able to grab them pretty easily, I believe. We have stellar sea lions in the tail race, pretty large numbers. I think the max we've seen so far this year was 28, which is kind of ahead of schedule compared to last year. So, that's all I have.
All right.
And so it begins.
What's the usual peak of the stellar sea numbers? What month?
For fall? I think it's varied a bit. I think last year we had 27 or 28, but that was in November. So we've never seen 28 in one day in September, like we did about a week or two ago.
There's nothing usual for stellars yet. We haven't had.
No, we don't really have a ton of data on stuff in the fall. Basically, we have people doing counts every other day right now. But they're also recording predation if they see it. And almost all the predation we've seen has been adult salmonids. Almost no sturgeon being consumed.
That's crazy.
Because there aren't any sturgeon? Or?
That would be kind of my feeling.
It's just so easy to get those fall chinook.
They ate the easy ones.
Yeah.
That's why this is what...
Yeah, kind of the drop we've seen in sturgeon predation is pretty amazing. If you look back to, like, 2011, we estimated they ate, like, 3,000 sturgeon, and this year our estimate was, like, 44. So I don't think that animals that were kind of known sturgeon predators are just going to switch all of a sudden. So I just have a feeling there's not really sturgeon around.
You don't see them rolling and jumping in the tail race. You don't see aggregations.
We've had a couple sightings done in the fishways to the sea lions.
Yeah, and you know, we haven't seen the big sturgeon in the bottom of the ladders with the shad.
Nope.
This year I didn't see a one in there. You always see several come in.
The really big ones.
And that's just gone. So something's going on there. Well, I know what's going on.
Hardly in salvages either, turban or ladder.
We have sea lions in the ladder?
We do.
Should we?
Yeah.
So we should have
the best back then?
I don't know if we should ever take them out. Yeah, they've been sighted in there a couple times.
That sounds like a great preventative action.
Yes, however, FPOM didn't want to put them out.
Right, because we didn't want to block fish and slow their...
Still. Sounds like something to consider.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to tell folks, because, you know, they come out for a couple months just for the fall run. It's going to leave men, but it is.
And Stellar's going to the ladder as well?
Mm-hmm. That's what's been seen in there. Recently,
do you want to back in?
I mean, well, no. I mean, think about it. You got all those fish trying to get through those entrances, and the sea lions are outside. That's just as good a place for them to feed as it is as inside if you're stacking up salmon. So you got to be a little careful about that.
So balance is really good.
Yeah, you got to think about it maybe later, but that always concerns me. You don't want to trap a sea lion in there, so you got to be careful when you put the thing in. But maybe as our numbers drop off and the sea lion numbers go up.
It sounds like maybe a trigger for.
Could do that.
What? As long as you don't wait,
just that I wouldn't want to have those problems in front of each other.
So you automatically take them out like the first week of September, then you put it back in, and your number goes below 8,000 or 6,000.
Something like that.
So maybe some modification of what we've been doing might be worth looking into. Something slightly different that's maybe not as impactful.
We're seeing a lot of problems. But Ben, have you seen them? Is this just like one animal or two, or is this? Like
I don't know if it's the same animal. It's been seen by a couple people.
A regular thing.
Right.
It's figured it out.
And potentially, is it one of the larger animals, or?
It will be stellar. Which, you know, even. Short of predation, its presence in there is quite disruptive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it remaining in the collection channel or is it ascending?
No, it didn't really go up much. Just over some submerged beers.
You able to haze in the ladder?
Probably. We haven't.
We'd be lucky if it stuck an orifice. That would be the end of it.
Shoot fireworks into the ladder.
Rubber bullets?
Maybe.
That's for California, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Euthanize them.
Stellars are actually a little more
bullets don't work very well
responsive to that.
I mean, real bullets don't work on them because they go up and do the neck carpets on their polar bullets.
I mean, they got the wrong caliber gun.
Yeah. There you go.
We are not giving USDA a higher caliber gun.
12-gauge will slug it.
So I guess on this topic, is there any more research? I remember years ago, Smith Rue was looking at some electro